This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Should we just start minute takes? We got 60 seconds on a whole bunch of games. All right, we're going to start. Before we start, this is for many of you, you'll probably be excited about this, an English Premier League free zone.
Oh.
There is no EPL, so I can't wax poetic on Liverpool's next loss, because that probably would have happened this weekend against Wolves. All right, let's get right to it. We're going to start with the Panthers and the Browns. We get 60 seconds. I said this earlier. This game has almost nothing to do with Baker Mayfield. Almost nothing. It's Christian McCaffrey, his ability, his how they use him. It's Ike Ekwonu trying to get run over slowly by Myles Garrett. Just give us a little bit of time. Baker will be fine. I'm not worried about Baker. I am worried about Ike Ekwonu. I want to see what Christian McCaffrey does, and I'm worried about Cleveland running the ball all over the Panthers. With that said, give me the home team. Give me the home team in a tight one,
okay,
and an emotional one.
Biggest thing I'm looking for is not just what can the guys on the field do. It's the sideline. Is Matt Rhule going to improve in terms of how he handles his timeouts, time management, play call, like getting play calls in at the right time, those kinds of things? That's the biggest improvement I'm looking for.
Will they have, let me ask you this question, yes or no, Dennis, will the Panthers have any timeouts left with 5 minutes left in the first half?
I want to say yes, because I want it to be true.
If I set the over-under at 1.5.
I take the under.
You take the under.
Under.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, you go.
All right, next game we're going to discuss here real quick in the NFL is going to be the Chargers and the Raiders taking place. I'm excited about this game for the simple fact of that the AFC West looks like it's just going to be wide open and wild this year in terms of just the talent. But are these teams really as good as we are hyping them up to be? I don't know. Can, much like the Panthers, can the Chargers improve on the sideline? They got the talent on the field. To me, it comes down to the guys on the sideline making the calls. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, I think the Chargers have a great roster.
Yeah.
Everything you just said about Matt Rhule will just change some of the particulars you could say about Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley, to me, is a giant wild card about what the Chargers are about this year. They have the ability to lose games they should not lose, as well as any team in the NFL. With that said, I think they have tons of talent. Justin Herbert is great. To me, this game is about the Raiders. I think the Raiders are the sneaky contender to the Chiefs.
Okay.
In that division. I do. I like the Raiders on the road. Cardinals and Chiefs. We can talk about the Cardinals if we have to, but all I'm really interested in here is how do the Chiefs remake their offense without Tyreek Hill and others? It's not just Tyreek Hill, right? But they still have Travis Kelce. They still have Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's still calling plays. He's still botching timeouts and two-minute clock management. But they still have the best trigger man in the sport. You could say that about a couple of guys, but Patrick Mahomes is still him. So I'll take the Chiefs, but how they do it is going to be interesting.
Do the Chiefs improve defensively is my big question, because that was their biggest struggle much of last season.
Yeah.
But also, how much independent study did Kyler Murray do leading up to this game? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's not mandatory.
I know it's not, but I know. Did you get your 4 hours in? That's what I want to know.
It's not mandatory anymore. I would be more interested in whether or not he's, really. Are there standings for video games?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, where does he rate?
I don't know.
Where does he rate on Fortnite or Call of Duty? All right, let's move on. Now is it my turn?
It's my turn.
Your turn. You do.
NC State has a glorified scrimmage against Charleston Southern tomorrow. It's going to be wet and rainy potentially here in the Triangle tomorrow. So I'm wondering how that's going to impact things. To me, this is just I like to call it a get right game. You made your mistakes. You kind of figure out what you need to work on against a good opponent in ECU. Now you get a chance to scrimmage somebody and actually have it count towards a win and improve things. I'm not seeing much of a struggle for NC State, but it's a chance for them to right some wrongs.
My read on all of these types of games is I will learn nothing from them. Zero.
Yeah.
But it is a live practice. So go out, have a good live practice.
Yeah.
Don't get anybody hurt, and we'll see you next week. That's all I got. All I got on these games. I hate them. They shouldn't be on the schedule. None of them should be on the schedule.
Yep.
Zero. They shouldn't count. They should all be exhibitions.
And how dreamy is Devin Leary?
Well, he has to be better than he was against East Carolina. Real quick, the really disappointing thing was that State's offensive line could not push in the fourth quarter. And it almost cost him a game. All right. This game is a little bit more dicey. Georgia State has some dudes. I think they'll be pretty good on both sides of the ball. Their game with South Carolina was closer than the score might indicate. North Carolina's defense has been abysmal. Abysmal. They're going to score. But I think how Georgia State plays offensively, I really believe will give us what North Carolina's season is going to be about. App State's got a really good offense. Georgia State's got a good one, but not App State's. I want to see how North Carolina handles it.
My big thing I want to see from UNC is, do you have a letdown game after such an emotional back-and-forth game against App? Like, is this like all right, it's maybe looking at quote-unquote lesser opponents. You have that step down in terms of your level of play? I don't know. We'll see from that. But, yeah, UNC's defense has to get right. Otherwise, you're going to see a lot of high-scoring games.
Well, we're going to see those anyway, but are those high-scoring games in the 40s/50s or 30s/40s?
I'm thinking like 50s. A lot.
No good.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to score against good teams. You're not going to score 50-some-odd points against good teams.
Exactly.
Just not going to do it.
All right, next one up on the list, Wake Forest is on the road at Vanderbilt. They're a 13-point favorite in this game, by the way, is Wake Forest. And they get Sam Hartman back.
They do.
And I'm assuming that he is playing this weekend. I don't know how much he's going to play. They might control his number of snaps. I'm not entirely sure what they're going to do, again, coming off a medical thing. I'm curious to see, does Wake Forest's offense get back to what we saw them at last season in terms of just their level of production, their level of play? And I genuinely hope that Sam Hartman does play at the level he did last year. He's a good kid. He's a great player. I'm excited to see him back on the field.
Me too. Sam Hartman coming back complicates NC State's life. I think he is awesome, and I think their offense, Dave Clawson is one of the top five or six coaches in all of college football. Now, recruiting is a different animal. He's not at one of those factories, so he has to recruit differently. But when it comes to coaching the game, Clawson doesn't have a lot of. He doesn't take a back seat to anybody, man. I think Wake will. Wake will win this game at an SEC opponent.
Yes.
All right, ready? We got another one. This is me, right?
Yeah.
Northwestern Duke. We're going to talk to Dave Harding about this later on. Part of the Duke Radio Network. I was impressed by three things regarding Duke and their win over Temple. I was really impressed by their defensive pursuit. They tackled well, but they tracked receivers. There weren't a lot of yards after catches. They've got some speed in the secondary. Now, Temple could just be bad. I was impressed with the quarterback, Riley Leonard. Really good. He looked like he had a complete command of the offense. And Jordan Moore was a quarterback a week ago. And now he's their best wide receiver? Might be. So, Northwestern's a different animal. I'm not as optimistic about the outcome, but I did like what I see from Duke.
Northwestern hasn't played since their game in Ireland against Nebraska, which feels like forever ago, but it was only 2 weeks ago. They're not coaching against Scott Frost. That's what gives me concern for Northwestern in this game.
Are you taking Duke? Taking Duke?
I think I might take Duke. Oh,
I might.
I said look, I might.
Well, we'll all get on the bandwagon if that happens. All right. We have to be real quick, so I'll take the first. You take the first game, and I'll take the second game.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I had thoughts on the second game, but that's fine.
I'll take the first game.
Okay, take the first game.
I'll take the first game. Texas A&M hosting App State. How does App get back up for this?
Oh, I know.
You talk about Carolina. App had the game. One is sort of a stretch because there were 30 seconds left. They had it. I just wonder if Texas A&M's defense is going to be too good. That's my fear. I think App will stick in this game, but I just don't think they have enough to outlast Texas A&M.
My thing is, if App wins this game because of, you know, the, UNC beat App, App beat Texas A&M, are we going to say UNC is now a top 10 team? Is that what we're going to
yes.
say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same
page.
As
long as UNC beats Georgia State.
All right, I'll restart the clock here for our final game here. East Carolina, Old Dominion. Now, here's the thing about this game. Old Dominion has success against ACC schools that ECU currently does not have. Even though Old Dominion beat Virginia Tech. Golly, Virginia Tech. What a joke they are now. ECU should run away with this game. But here's my thought for ECU. Don't let last week and a game that you should have had, that you could have won, don't let that beat you again this week.
Here's the thing about that game. I know, and I appreciate Mike Houston being disappointed that they didn't win. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just – I look at it differently. If anything, I am encouraged – by East Carolina based on what they did defensively
Likewise.
Against NC State.
Likewise.
So if their defense is good, I think their offense will be enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning this game.
Easy to run away with this game.
They're winning this game. I'm looking forward to seeing the Pirates get better. See no reason why we shouldn't talk to Luke DeCock. Plus, I'm sure he has thoughts on the Queen passing. I found out today that Balmoral is in Scotland, which technically is also outside London, so I was right, even though I just called it outside London. Thoughts on Queen Elizabeth II's passing after a 70-year run as queen?
Sure. One, I'm married to a dual British subject, so this is a moment
that.
Of great despair in the household.
Okay.
When my wife... finally sort of, it's a long story, but obtained her British citizenship some years ago. She actually invited the Queen to the party that we had at our old house. She did not come, but that would have been quite amazing if she had.
Right.
So I guess I'm a little bitter toward the Queen because of that, her standing us up like that. But no, I guess I don't have anything to add that hasn't been
That's
said.
Fine.
I will say... I think Charles is making a huge mistake going by Charles III when George VII would have been a callback to his grandfather and great-grandfather and established himself in the line of the monarchy, whereas the other two Charleses were both bozos. So maybe that's better.
Maybe he's just trying to remake Charles in his own image. I appreciate you having takes on the new king. As you mentioned, inviting the queen to the party... when I was 13 or about to be 13 and I was about to be bar mitzvahed, I did invite Richard Todd, then quarterback of the New York Jets, Lee Mazzilli, then center fielder for the New York Mets, and Warner Wolf all to my bar mitzvah. Richard Todd sent back a handwritten reply that he would be practicing at the time, so could not make it. And I did get a meet and greet with Richard Todd. We showed him because we framed it. We showed him the whole thing. And he came over to the stands. We had season tickets to the Jets. He came over to the stands, shook my hand, talked to me and my dad for about 2 minutes, and then went back and beat the Vikings. So there you go.
Are we just naming guys now? Al Toon, Mark Gastineau?
No,
Jets of yesteryear? No, I know, but you went through the all-time greats of the Jets.
He was the Mets guy at the time. And
New York sports TV. It was very nice that you got to share that moment with Richard Todd.
Oh my gosh. All right.
I'm very happy for you.
I know you've written about it a bunch this week. Really both wins that were more escapes than wins. Like no fan base really should be all that great this weekend. It felt all that great coming out of last weekend. App State blew a game Gave up 63 points, really 56, but still. East Carolina should have won the game twice, or at least tied the game and then won the game. And then both the big boys managed to win, but there were some warts that really shone. So let's start with the Wolfpack. What did we learn that might be troubling about the Wolfpack?
I mean, I think probably it means the Wolfpack was getting high on its own supply a little bit over the summer. You know, to get up 21-7 at the half and kind of fold, quite honestly, in a couple ways, sort of suggests a team that thought it had done enough, that it was done for the day. That said, if NC State punches in the ball in either of those goal line stands that it screwed up, this is a completely different conversation. And I think when you look at all four schools, the way everybody is sort of disgruntled about being 2-0 or 1-0 or nearly pulling off a couple upsets at home in the case of the other two schools, I think it's a sign of progress in some ways. I mean, nobody's happy with the way things have gone. That's a sign of higher standards for football in this state than we've had lately. I mean, I think there's a period of time where even a narrow escape at East Carolina or App State, the ACC team in question, would walk away feeling pretty good, and no one does. Now, some of that has to do with the manner of these two games, for sure. But I also think the fact that neither NC State nor UNC is particularly happy about where it is, and certainly their fans are not, suggests that these teams do have bigger goals ahead, and they haven't really done any actual damage yet, other than maybe to their own resolve and the lifespans of their fan bases. But overall, I mean, that's kind of why I wrote what I wrote today, which is, you know, these are normally these games against Charleston Southern or, you know, UNC continuing its road tour of the Sun Belt for some reason at Georgia State. These games are usually kind of meaningless, and we just kind of get them over with to move on to the good ones. In this case, they're important, and they're well-timed because both of these teams need a fresh start. And both of these teams should win these games by 20-plus points and feel very good about things. And we'll see. You disagree already.
I don't think North Carolina is winning that game by 20-plus points because I think Georgia State is good offensively. They didn't show it at South Carolina, but I think they're good offensively. Like, the state game to me is a practice, and you need practice. So, good. They're practice. A live practice can be useful. I'm not going to take anything out of the game. North Carolina, I will take something out because I think they're playing a legitimate opponent on the road. Again, why they're playing this game on the road, I don't know who owes what to somebody. But I think we got to find something positive out of North Carolina's defense. I mean, App State to score 6 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. How do I make sense of that?
I was under the impression when UNC was bringing back a former defensive coordinator, it was Gene Chizik and not Vic Caning. I was apparently misinformed. There's nobody in the business better at making chicken salad than Gene Chizik. He is the Bobby Flay, Alton Brown, barefoot Contessa of making chicken salad in with a defensive whatever. So I think UNC is eventually going to be fine because they're going to be schemed up eventually. The fact that they look like this in week 3, week 2.1, or what I've lost track with week 0.6.
I hate week 0.
Week 0 is brutal. It suggests that there are deep-seated problems with the functionality of that personnel that they've assembled on defense, because it doesn't seem to matter who's coaching it. They can't get their assignments right or tackle or do any of these things we call fundamentals or used to when I was a kid. That is the oldest I've ever sounded. They should.
It probably isn't, but that's fine.
Thank you. But you know, I do think eventually Gene Chizik will be able to get the best out of this North Carolina defense, whatever that is. And I don't think there's any doubt that what we saw against Florida A&M, although the kid, Jeremy Musa, could sling it. I mean, the kid could sling it. Or at what we saw against App State, I don't think that's the finished final product of the UNC defense.
It can't be.
Well, I'm just saying.
They gave up 61 points to App.
There's not going to be a direct line from there to whatever this ends up being. I mean, if it is, then shut it all down and you know, burn it all down and whatever.
Yeah, to me, they were soft at the point of attack against A&M, and they weren't much better. I mean, arguably, they certainly weren't much better against App. I think this game matters, and we're not that far away from a real big boy, line of scrimmage test when they get Notre Dame. Let me ask you about Sam Hartman's return for Wake Forest as they're going to Vanderbilt. Now, they're a big favorite. They're 2-touchdown favorite at Vandy. I think that this, in a roundabout way, Sam Hartman's return, as long as he's healthy enough to stick out the whole season, I have no reason to believe he isn't. But he, when you're away from the team for 3 or 4 weeks, certainly you can think about things differently. I think it's trouble for everybody else in the Atlantic, maybe not named Clemson.
Yeah, I think so. I do enjoy the sort of ACC history and tradition of Sam Hartman's indefinite absence being one game. The ACC standard for indefinite being a single game, of course.
Oh, no, solid.
I think, look, Wake was a 10-something point favorite even before the whispers about Hartman coming back broke. I don't think Wake would be bringing him back in this situation unless he were ready to go and fully healthy. So I don't have any concerns there. Yeah, I think in the long term, everybody in the Atlantic Division was hoping Sam Hartman, nothing against the kid, would stay out until after they had played him. And the ideal scenario was for Sam Hartman's last game of his indefinite absence to be the game you played Wake, and then ideally he would come back the next week against Clemson or whoever and play against them. The Atlantic Division is going to be tight. Look, Florida State's going to be in there. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I believe that they may not win the division, but they have the potential to mess it up for somebody.
Sure.
We always underestimate Wake. State, despite the East Carolina game, still has everything in front of them. And Clemson is Clemson, although it's going to be interesting to see who's playing quarterback by about the second quarter of their next game. So it is interesting, but it's also kind of what we were expecting in July and August before the news of Hartman's sort of, I guess you'd almost call this sort of a genetic injury based on his history with sort of things in his shoulder and tumors and whatnot. Before the news of that broke, we expected Wake to be in that position. So I don't know that this changes a whole ton. I mean, I'm sure VMI is glad they didn't have to face Sam Hartman, not that it made any kind of a difference.
No. 34 points.
Yeah. And
would have been 54 if Hartman played, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, and Mitch Griffiths was good. Like, I don't know that Sam Hartman was going to do a lot more than Mitch Griffiths did. No. I'm sure Vanderbilt would much rather prepare for Griffiths than Hartman, and that's probably changed things up at practice a little bit this week. But, it is. I don't think it dramatically changes the nature of the Atlantic Division. They are, in the words of Dennis Green, who we thought they were.
All right, Duke, before we get to the surprise PTO signing of Calvin DeHaan today, Duke at Northwestern, is this reality, or did we see enough from Duke against the bad Temple team to think, you know what, this Blue Devil team might be a little different?
You know, I think what I saw against Temple, let's put aside the X's and O's, because, look, Temple was... Duke very rarely wins the getting off the bus challenge, and they absolutely looked like they were in a different division than Temple. Just not a very athletic, big, strong, imposing Temple group. You know, if it had been Campbell, and I wouldn't have batted an eye. Nothing against Campbell, but you just expect more from a team in the American. So Duke should have dominated physically and did. I think what we saw from Duke was confidence and a fresh start. And players with optimism. And look, I was a huge defender of David Cutcliffe. I think people still don't appreciate what he did with that program. But by the same token, there's no question that even by the start of last season, everybody was kind of beat down.
Yep.
And certainly by the middle of last season, everybody was absolutely beat down. Now, before that all happened, they still beat Northwestern. So Northwestern, like Temple, is one of the teams that Duke has historically, we'll see what happens this year, historically been able to out-athlete. And so there's a chance there, I think, for this Duke team to take some confidence into a game where they're not going to be physically outmanned and win on the road. I wouldn't say it's a lock, but I think Duke has probably a better chance than people are giving them just because of the emotional boost of having some good vibes. It's been so long, years now, since there were legitimate good vibes in the Duke program. That's not anybody's fault. I'm not blaming David Cutcliffe for that. It's just the way it happened. And Lord knows the one-year reign of error of Chase Bryce didn't help anything. But in the end, this is a different Duke team in the sense that people are more excited. And that's not a criticism of anybody. It just comes with a change in faces on the staff, in the locker room, transfers, all that stuff. And then you take the good feelings of doing what Duke did to Temple, which is really crush Temple. It could have been much worse.
Yeah.
And take that on the road to Northwestern and see what happens.
Look, ACC teams on the road in non-conference games against Power 5 opponents, it's cake. Absolute money. All right, real quick before we have to say goodbye. Hurricanes, a professional tryout for Calvin DeHaan, left defenseman, familiar. He was part of, I'm just saying this for everybody else, you know this, part of the defensive core that led the Hurricanes back to the playoffs for the first time in a decade. Really helped bail them out of the first couple of rounds of the playoffs when Trevor Van Riemsdyk got hurt and Dougie Hamilton was kind of on defensive walkabout. Thoughts on that and what it means for this roster?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get too worked up about PTOs. I mean, I think it's good to bring a guy into camp. A lot of times, like Derek Steppen, it's guys who haven't found a contract somewhere mm-hmm. else. And this is a comfort situation for them where they know where they are. They know the coaching staff. They'll get to play in a few preseason games, presumably, maybe show off their wares for someone else. I mean, I don't know that there's a space on this roster, especially after the Stastny signing, for Derek Steppen, as much as I really like the, I mean, I think he's a terrific guy. I'd hire him as an assistant coach tomorrow if you're done playing. Same thing with Calvin DeHaan. Another great guy, knows mm-hmm. the coaching staff. You'd hire him as a coach or a scout or a development guy in a heartbeat. Brewmaster, if you were starting your own team brewery. I don't know necessarily that there's going to be a place for him on the roster, with the caveat that if they decide that Jake Gardner can't hack it, and we kind of have gone into this hoping mm-hmm. Jake Gardner can play again, there's that kind of one spot on the left side of the D defensively, depth-wise, that maybe Calvin DeHaan ends up there instead of Jake Gardner, and Jake Gardner ends up getting traded or on LTIR if he can't, you know, physically play, whatever. So I think there's probably more space on this roster for Calvin DeHaan than there is for Derek Steppen, who's the other sort of notable PTO. But he's a likable guy. People, you know, he fits in well with the team. He's not going to cause a ruckus. He's going to come in trying to make the team, maybe get a look somewhere else. Maybe he ends up signing in Chicago and coming up here if you need him. It doesn't hurt anything. And that's kind of one of the things about waiting till later in the summer. Same thing with the Stastny signing. There are going to be guys available who might be good fits for you that you wouldn't give money on July 1st, and you might not mm-hmm. give money on September 1st. But you want him in camp, and I think Calvin DeHaan certainly fits that bill.
I think both DeHaan and Stepan will be in the opening night lineup. Luke Tkach, I appreciate your time as always.
We're getting money on that, buddy.
That's fine. Look, Andre Kasha is only 5 minutes away from the next injury. Where are you headed this weekend?
I am. I'm headed only to Charlotte on Sunday for the Baker Mayfield Spectacular.
Oh, should be.
Apparently, Adam, I don't know if you knew this. This is maybe breaking news. Baker Mayfield would like to beat the former team that traded him away and in his first game for his new team. This is apparently scandalous in the NFL. I had no idea.
I'm going to write that. Oh, there, breaking news. I'm going to write that down. All right. Let me ask you this question before you go. If I handed you a Great Lakes beer, an Elliott Ness, an Amber Lager, an Edmund Fitzgerald, a Porter, and I handed you any one of the juicy sycamores, mountain candy, or anything like that, which would you prefer?
I'm not a sycamore fan per se.
I love sycamore.
So I would go with the Great Lakes. But in any conversation, I will have to take the Spotted Cow that I'm holding up on your webcam right now.
Is that a Charlotte beer?
That's a Wisconsin beer.
Oh, it's a Wisconsin beer.
It's definitely a Wisconsin beer. Stuff.
Okay.
So when the Panthers play the Packers and we have this conversation.
Okay. I'll save it for that.
All
right, man.
I have it sitting right here.
You got to take the train, by the way, because we can do that. We can take the train to the football game. Thanks, man. Luke Tkach of the News and Observer joins us every Friday. We have reached Orange Wedges.
And now your halftime entertainment.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I was talking to Luke here for a moment. So, yes, we're talking Spotted Cow. Actually, well, New Glarus is the bottling company or brewery that makes Spotted Cow.
Okay.
It's based in about an hour, not even an hour, south of Madison, Wisconsin. So it's south central Wisconsin. The Staghorn is my go-to. It's an amber ale.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
That is my go-to. But, yes, anyway, speaking of things that are tasty and juicy, D23, Disney is giving us all the juicy stuff that we want to know what's coming up next in the world of Disney. That's movies, that's Marvel, it's all video games,
of
whatever
course
it may
it's
be.
Marvel.
Yeah, it's all things Disney. For example, Indiana Jones 5, we have now seen concept art as well as costumes for Indiana Jones 5.
Who, now I know it's Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm a big Harrison Ford fan.
Of course. Get off my plane.
He's 90.
Is he really?
I have no idea how old Harrison Ford is. I am not going to buy anything he does.
80, actually.
Yes, as Indiana Jones. I'm not going to buy anything he does as Indiana Jones. Who's the... Like, is Shia LaBeouf going to be in this too?
I have no idea. I didn't even watch that movie, to be
honest. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Raiders of the Lost Ark overrated.
No, yes. No, not overrated.
Yes.
I mean, no, just campy and awesome and worthy of other Indiana Jones movies, but not overrated. Nobody, I don't think anybody's calling it a work of cinematic art. It's a fun movie.
It's overrated.
Okay, fine.
Last Crusade's the best one.
What, the one with...
Sean Connery?
Sean Connery?
Yeah, that's the best one.
Well, it's... It might be, I'm not arguing that, but it's because of Sean Connery, who is awesome. Was awesome.
Yes.
Sir Sean
That's
Connery.
That's right, Sir Sean Connery. Also, we get, there's a continuation to the National Treasure storyline. The two-part movie that we saw with Nicolas Cage.
Can I just say?
Go on.
I like those movies.
I liked them too. They were fun. They were fun movies.
See,
nothing
that's
great, but
what's
they're
wrong
fun.
With it? Fun.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. Underrated, actually, I think.
I don't know about that.
I still watch it. If I see it, I'll watch it.
I'll watch it, too.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
But there's a National Treasure.
They stole the Declaration of Independence.
I know. They used lime juice to read the back of it.
Lemon juice.
So there's a Disney Plus sequel series coming to it called National Treasure Edge of History. Now, it doesn't have Nick Cage.
That's fine. It doesn't need Nick Cage.
It's Nick Cage.
I understand. It doesn't need Nicolas Cage. Nick? You know him that well?
Yeah.
I only know him as Nicholas.
N-I-C Nick. Yeah. That's how I know him now. So if you want to pay attention, you can obviously follow what Disney puts out there. But today we're getting some stuff regarding, actually probably started just now because it's supposed to start at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Uh-huh.
Disney Legends, there's an award ceremony going on. There's, for example, like we do some stuff for Chadwick Boseman as well. With his passing, what he's done with Black Panther. So a lot of different things going on. Also expect to see a Disney and Marvel game showcase later on today as well as a Disney Pixar Studio showcase tomorrow. This is what I'm looking for. You'll see some stuff from 20th Century Studios as well as Lucasfilm and Marvel Studios.
Nice.
Very much looking forward to that. We'll probably drop some different trailers. For example, Ant-Man and the Wasp, the third movie for that. Quantumania, we'll probably see a trailer. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, The Marvels, we'll probably see some trailers and stuff for that, and as well as Secret Invasion. We're going to get a lot of those things. But also a Sunday, we'll get some stuff regarding Disney products as well as Disney experiences and Disney parks.
Nice.
Yes, so have fun with that. There are ways to watch also, because yesterday was Disney Plus Day. You can get Disney Plus for a month for only $1.99.
Really?
Yeah.
For a whole month?
Yeah, for $1.99.
Nice.
So you can go in and watch all of those wonderful things. Something to keep in mind as well, if you have an electric vehicle, Starbucks as well as IKEA are partnering up with some different companies to have locations to start offering electrical vehicle recharging. So you can refuel yourself with coffee and recharge your car at the same time.
I like the symmetry there.
I kind of just came up with that right now.
Oh, good. There's a Walmart up where I live.
Oh, nice.
The Super Walmart. It's actually very good. It's okay. Legitimately super. And they have, and I haven't, not in, not, I'm probably not going to ever get a Tesla, although I guess maybe, but there are like 15 Tesla recharging stations in the Walmart parking lot.
Specifically Tesla?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can plug other, if you have like a Chevy Volt or whatever the other electric cars are, because there are so many of them now. I don't know if you can plug another one in. Mm-hmm. I don't know how different the apparatuses are.
It's not just an AC/DC outlet.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
So
USB-C versus USB, like, is that?
But
what it
yeah,
is?
You're starting to see it all. We have some here, but yeah, they're gonna be. We're gonna need them. We are gonna need them. I'm surprised we don't have a whole bunch of gas stations now flipping to them.
I do know in locally here in Raleigh, at North Hills, there's a Target. And in the back of the parking lot, there's about a half or even more, maybe close to a dozen electric
Are they specific
vehicle.
Tesla or other company?
I don't think
company?
They're anything specific.
Good.
I think they're kind of universal.
We need them.
Which is a good thing. That's fine. I've always wondered what it would be like to actually have an electric vehicle.
No? If I ever get one, I'll let you know.
Please do. Nerf guns were fun when I was a kid, and I'm very excited that the iconic sharpshooter blaster from 1992 is coming back.
Excellent.
Yep. Christmas gifts. If anyone wants to get me a Christmas gift, I'll gladly accept the iconic sharpshooter blaster from 1992 from Nerf guns.
Very cool.
And I believe you and I, yesterday you teased an announcement.
Yeah.
Do you want to make that
today? Do you want to do that now? I was going to save it for after Dave Harding.
Okay, we can save it for after Dave
Saving
Harding.
Saving it for, there is an announcement of significance coming at about 2:45 today.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
All right.
So you got an hour, folks.
We got an hour. If you're leaving, come back, and you'll hear the significant announcement.
Yeah.
At 2:45 today, or thereabouts. Might be 2:48.
Might be
2:49 and a half.
Depends on how long your conversation with Dave goes.
Yeah, it does. It's all up in the air. The Panthers and the Cleveland Browns this weekend should be fun. Should be a nice vibe around Bank of America Stadium. Although, what did we hear? Darren Gant the other day said, yeah, it's going to be conducive to a running game. It's going to be a kind of a sloppy track. That's unfortunate. By the way, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens could not come to an agreement on a contract. Today was the deadline, apparently. So, $23 million this year, and the worst nightmare, he is prepared to play on the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. I told you my strategy. I told you what I would do yesterday. If I were the Baltimore Ravens, do not give him the exclusive franchise tag. Let other teams give him an offer sheet. Do it. You're going to match it. Unless it's ridiculous, and the other team then would be, I'm not saying stuck with Lamar Jackson, but stuck with a Lamar Jackson contract that is prohibitive. So the Ravens are in this situation. The only way they can really get out of it is to do something like that. But ultimately, he's going to play on the franchise tag next year because he's comfortable with it. All right, shall we do a little place your bets?
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you nothing.
All right, sir. Where you want to go?
By the way, I'm at plus 1130 now. I gained 20 units yesterday.
Oh, you on the touchdown?
The Gabe Davis. But Gabe I Davis missed touchdown. On the Rams winning.
Oh, okay. Bummer. That's right. You had the Rams plus.
And my other bet was a UFC fight for tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Is Cam Akers in witness protection? What happened?
Maybe.
What happened? I mean, I know he got in the game because I saw him, like, with one carry. But what's going on? Is he hurt again? What's happening?
I don't know. Well, they just stunk yesterday. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's... Isn't he the better running? I don't know. I was actually closer to my Allen Diggs Singletary
with
300, 100, 100.
All of 40.
Diggs went for 122. Allen was 297. And if they gave the ball to Singletary more, maybe he does approach 100. He was 48.
He had 8 carries.
Yeah. I mean, come on. More. He needs more carries than that.
Yeah.
More carries than that.
All right, sir. College football tomorrow. Duke, Northwestern. Give me Duke to win this outright plus 300.
Outright, Duke. Very nice.
Yep. There it is.
Very nice.
I said it.
Outright. Good for you. I'd love to see the Blue Devils do that. I'm going to go for another outright winner here. Marlins at home
against the Mets.
Plus 130.
Okay. All right.
The Mets are not reeling, but I also don't think they're playing great. By the time we wake up tomorrow, Braves are in Seattle, by the way. That's a good series. I think we could have a new leader in the division. By the time we wake up tomorrow.
Okay.
I think we could have a new leader in the division. Temporary, but new.
Premier Lacrosse League semifinals take place this weekend. Chaos take on the Archers. Water Dogs take on the Whip Snakes. Give me the Whip Snakes and the Archers to both win plus 150.
Okay. How are you doing on your Premier League parlays?
Doing okay.
Okay.
I'm at plus 11.
Well, yeah, but that has nothing to do with the Premier Lacrosse League.
I'm about 50-50 on them.
You made 1,300 units on a four-team Champions League parlay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's good. I'm just curious. This Premier League, Premier Lacrosse League stuff, have you taken advantage of it? Like cricket.
For example, if I do a four-leg parlay in lacrosse, I usually end up getting 3 of them right.
Okay.
There's always the occasion. I mean, there's only 8 teams. All these teams are just stacked.
Right.
They're just loaded.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
So of course they are.
It is kind of hard to pick. But give me those two to win in the semis, plus 150.
All right. I'm going with a 4-team college football parlay.
Oh, okay.
Either all ACC or local teams. North Carolina on the road at Georgia State. Wake Forest on the road at Vanderbilt. East Carolina at home to Old Dominion. Virginia Tech at home to Boston College. I am really nervous about that one. Mm. Is Virginia Tech going to screw me again?
They might.
If those four hit, plus 245.
I don't trust either of those places.
What, Virginia Tech or Boston College?
Yeah, I don't trust either of them.
Plus 245 if it hits.
All right.
So.
I'm giving you a 5-leg NFL parlay.
Okay.
5.
Sure.
Ravens over Jets, Niners over Bears, Bengals over Steelers, Titans over Giants, Chiefs over Cardinals, plus 535.
I like it. All right, here's my Panthers-Browns action.
That's a pick'em game, by the way.
What, Panthers-Browns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The line is pick'em.
Yeah, it should be pick'em. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% confident in a winner in this game, right? I don't know. I have my doubts about what the Panthers really are. Like I said, Jay Williams and Keyshawn Johnson will bring it back in the Wall of Sound. Take the predictions out of what they said. They're both right, right? Healthy Christian McCaffrey's difference maker. Browns have the better roster. But probably not even close, right? Browns have the better roster. All right, so I like a running game. I like Christian McCaffrey and Nick Chubb to do work. I like Christian McCaffrey, 75 or more rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, or and a touchdown. It says rushing touchdown. Rushing touchdown.
Okay.
And I like Nick Chubb, 75 or more yards and a rushing touchdown. Both, 850.
All right.
Just for them each to get a rushing touchdown is 300, but let's go crazy. Let's go. It's the opener.
Yeah.
Let's go nuts.
Let's get weird.
Yes.
This is the Adam Gold Show.